As we come to the table of the Lord this morning, our meditation in the scriptures is found in John chapter 12. We'll meditate on the verses 1 and 2 of John 12. We'll begin our reading at verse 55 of John 11. John 11, Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. The Jews have plotted to put him to death. Verse 55 of John 11, "And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. We read to that point. We read the first two verses, our text. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Jesus Christ has come to the house of his friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus in Bethany, on the eve of the Passion Week, the last week of his earthly ministry. The Passion Week is the greatest week that has ever happened in the history of the earth. When Jesus Christ came to do the will of him that sent him, and to lay down his life, and to fulfill all of the scriptures, and to give himself a ransom for us. Each night of that week, he would return, as he was throughout that week, he would return to Bethany, to the home of his friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. How he loved his church. How Jesus sought out the fellowship of his friends, of his church, of how he did that when he knew the hour had come for him to lay down his life. He did not at that point seclude himself in an apartment, nook and cranny in Jerusalem to be entirely alone, hiding maybe from the Jews, or just thinking only of himself. He did not seclude himself at that point, but he sought, at the moment of his greatest trial, the fellowship of his people. If that were true of him, how much more must it be true of us this morning, that in the midst of our trials, our sufferings, our sorrows, or our joys, that we long to be with the people of God. We read that when he arrived in Bethany, they made for him a supper. Everyone, his friends, are aware of the tension of the moment, that the Jews are seeking to kill him. And yet they will have a supper of love and fellowship with Jesus Christ. We read in our text that at this supper, Martha served. Of course she did. Of course Martha served. She always served. The Lord had warned her once that she not become obsessed with her service, but Martha served. Mary, we read, performed an act of deep devotion, expensive ointment upon his feet. Of course she did that. That was Mary. Her heart was oozing with devotion for Jesus. And of Lazarus, we read, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, Lazarus sat at the table with him. Of course he did. Those who are raised from the dead sit at the table with Jesus. Those who are raised from spiritual death, this is a prefiguration of the Lord's Supper that the Lord would soon institute in the Passion Week. The disciples were there, Martha was there, Mary was there, Simon the leper was there, even Judas Iscariot was there. But the one who sat down at the table with him was Lazarus, for he had been raised from the dead. Where else this morning would someone who has been raised from the dead be? Where would they be? Except at the table with him. Sitting at the table with Jesus. Note with me, first of all, that this will mean real communion for us. For those who are raised from the dead will have real communion and are the only ones who can have real fellowship with Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Note with me that all that were present at the supper in Bethany, Lazarus was the one who had been raised from the dead. We remember, children, that his body had laid in a tomb for 4 days. He was dead. Lazarus knew when Christ awoke him that he had been dead. He was in that tomb long enough for his body to begin to putrefy and to turn to corruption and to smell and to dust. You remember that Jesus had waited for 4 days and told his disciples that they would wait for 4 days in order that God's glory might be seen when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus had been dead. And he was alive. And he sat at the table. Note that although the other members of the family and disciples no doubt partook of the supper, for they, plural, made a supper for him, others were sitting at the table. Martha, we're told, were served. Mary with her devotion of ointment. And the disciples were present, the 12 disciples. They were all present, but the Holy Spirit underscores just one. Note, but contrast to to Martha and Mary, Lazarus sat at the table with him. Martha and Mary sat at the table with him. But the Holy Spirit, when we sit at the table with him, is not going to emphasize the service that Martha did for him. The Holy Spirit is not going to emphasize the devotion that Mary had for him. But the Holy Spirit will emphasize that when one sits at the table, they're the ones who had been dead and are alive again. Lazarus is us. It's the picture of the spiritual rebirth that God sent forth into our hearts. We were dead. We know that we were dead. We were stinking in sin and death and enmity against God. Ephesians 2 verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." But Lazarus is alive again and sitting at the table. It is regeneration. The implanting of the life of Christ and the gift of faith out of that life that brings us to sit at the table of the Lord. Through that regenerated life, that beginning principle, that faith that he has given to us, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ at the table. It is only those who are born again that come to the table. It is only they who can receive that fellowship with Jesus Christ spiritually. And it is they who want that fellowship and need that fellowship. Do you feel that now in your hearts? The picture here of the child of God is not, well, Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he never saw Jesus again. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but when he was in town and they were having a supper for him, he was nowhere to be found. That's not the picture. How cruel that would have been. But Lazarus sat at the table with him. For the new life of Christ brings us to this table. That wonderful life that the Spirit testifies in our hearts in the sorrow of sin and in faith in Jesus Christ and love for Jesus Christ and love for his people. Lazarus was there. Lazarus wanted to hear his words. Lazarus wanted to commune with him. Lazarus wanted to mark out his works. Lazarus wanted to receive his smile. Lazarus sitting at the table as one who had been dead. When he sat at that table, he was happier than all the angels in heaven. But the striking thing about the supper in Bethany was that although they had made the supper for him, and although it takes place in Lazarus and Mary and Martha's house, nevertheless, it becomes not their table, but it is Jesus' table. We read, they sat at the table with him. And this is very important for us to remember. You have your friends over to your house at your table for a supper that you've prepared for your friends. And when the food is ready, they all sit down and you say, "We are so happy to have you at our table, you and your wife's table. Welcome." But that's not the way it is here. Lazarus' house, Lazarus' table, but he does not act as the host. Lazarus is a guest at this table of the Lord. You find the very same thing to the travelers in Emmaus when the two travelers invited the risen Lord into the house and he sat down. Suddenly, it was the Lord who was serving. It was the Lord's table. He broke the bread, and in the breaking of the bread, he made himself known to them. It became his table. This is his table. Two men prepared this yesterday sometime in their faithful service throughout the years. But this is his table. We do not call this table our table. Nowhere in the Bible is the Lord's Supper referred to as our table. It is his table. He is the host, and we the guests. And that's the point of the Lord's Supper. We come to be fed by him at this table. This is not a memorial table. We are not going to take bread and wine and use the words in remembrance in this sense, that just as we would remember a long departed loved one, a hero who's long gone, we don't want to forget him. We will have a memorial to his life. That's not what this table is. This table is present, real communion right now with Jesus Christ, the living Lord. He is here. And when the bread and wine is distributed, he does that, and he, as host of the table, communicates himself to you. He communicates himself at that point. Be awake in your faith. Through that bread and wine, he communicates not only the assurance of pardon. I don't like to use that word, only the assurance of pardon. I'm not minimizing the pardon. I'm saying that's not the only thing he gives. He does give the assurance of justification. Your sins are forgiven in my blood and body. But that's not the only thing. He communicates himself. It is sanctification. It is Christ by his Spirit telling us, I live in you. And you live in me. Lazarus sat with him at the table, a living man. We sit at the table, living children of God in real fellowship. A raised soul, young people, regenerated faith. A raised soul, a child of God, is not out and about wandering by themselves through this world. But they have fellowship with him. They have fellowship with him by having fellowship in his church and with his people. They want to have fellowship with him. We want to come here to this table because we believe through faith that he will feed our souls with his own body and blood, even to life eternal. He will communicate himself to us. Lazarus sat at the table with him. What a wonder. Now think and picture yourself in Bethany. Yes, everybody's trying to kill him. Yes, there's a tension and a sorrow on the meeting, but Lazarus is at the table with him. Think of it. He was dead. Don't open the tomb, Lord. He stinks. He's alive. What a wonder, what a thrill it was to sit at that table with Jesus who raises the dead. Just think of it. He raised us. You have a special meal. Maybe it's a holiday meal of Thanksgiving or Christmas, but maybe this meal is just a family reunion. You have the whole family there. What a wonderful blessing of God that God gives us to enjoy. But this family meal is a little special from every other one. It's not the day, but it's because 6 months before, your father and grandfather suffered a heart attack. His heart had stopped.
He would have died if they had not revived him. He had to have 6 bypasses. And now he's sitting at the table with you. You sit at the table and your 6-year-old daughter has had leukemia. And 2 years earlier, the prospect was for her death. And God has granted her life and remission. She's sitting at the table with you. There's a young person, there's a young man who went through depression. And God has had mercy and he's sitting at the table with you. And there's smiles of wonder at this table for what God has done. That was how it was at the house of Bethany. Martha served, but maybe she served because she knew if she sat down, she would break down for her brother. Her brother is alive again. Mary performed an act of devotion. Was she speaking for the whole church? But behind it, Lazarus is sitting with him. He's alive. The disciples have to remember that they criticized the Lord. He's dead. If he had been alive and you had gone over there, maybe we'd go with you. You go there now and we'll all be dead. And there he is. He's alive. Isn't it a wonder? Isn't it a wonder that we who were dead are at the table with him this morning? I have cautioned you in the past that during the Lord's Supper and throughout any worship service that you must not look at each other in a carnal way. You may not look at somebody in this worship service in a carnal way. Oh, they did, and he's like, and she said, you may do that. But that doesn't mean that we don't look at each other. And the configuration of our auditorium allows us to look at each other as we, to an extent, as we partake of the Lord's Supper in unison. We don't look at each other anymore in that sinful pride, but we do come to know each other. We come to know each other in this way, that we were sinners, we were lost. And we are found again. We were dead and we are alive again. We come to know each other in God's grace. It is a blessing. I'm not putting this down as a law, but it is a blessing to live your life for your whole life in one congregation. Not so that you say, well, I know him and I'm tired of him and I'm tired of her and they're so and all. Oh, no. But so that you in your fellowship with each other may come to know what the Lord has done for you, and you sit in amazement. What the Lord has done for my brother in the Lord, my sister in the Lord, Martha and Mary, their brother was alive. Young people, we have a wonder, not in a negative sense, but we have a wonder to see you come, make confession of your faith, and be at the Lord's table. That's a wonder to us. As parents, we confess that we conceived and brought you forth in death. What a wonder to watch you grow up and see that faith mature and nurture and become true, steadfast faith, and now you're at the Lord's table. That's a wonder for us. What a wonder it is for a married couple. We certainly know our faults, don't we? And we know what we did, too, don't we? What a wonder. We are alive. We are forgiven. We are at the Lord's table together. We don't come naturally to this table. We come through the wonder of grace of what He has done for me. Then there will be a very strong testimony. Lazarus' presence at this table, we read, that he sat with Jesus at that table, became an occasion for his enemies, Jesus' enemies, to plot his death. His enemies, when they saw that this Lazarus stuck with Jesus, who he raised from the dead, his enemies decided he's got to go. He can't be walking around living anymore, being testimony to Jesus. He's got to die. You've been to the Lord's table this morning? Then you can expect the same from this world. But it was also a powerful testimony we read in the chapter. For when many saw Lazarus, not Jesus, they saw Lazarus. They believed in Jesus. Were you at communion this morning? Maybe someone will ask, you had communion at church? Then let it be known this way, that your communion with Jesus this morning is seen in your life, that you, by grace, were with Him at this table. And then we think of what joy it was to Jesus. For when He saw Lazarus there, He saw the fruit of His work. He saw the result of the travail of His soul upon the cross. He saw the new life of God through His death being given to God's children and elect to bring them into God's own fellowship under the shadow of His wings. He sees in this table, when you partake by faith, by His grace, but He sees the fruit of His death, and He is satisfied. As we sit with Him this morning at the table. Amen. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for Thy word. We pray now that Thou wilt seal and confirm all this to us in the sacrament. In Jesus' name, amen.